Welcome back to the Motley Fool Radio Show, and now it's time to go to the Fool Phones. The Fool Phone lines are always open for your financial questions and comments. The phone number 866-NPR-FOOL. I'm joined once again by Dayana Yoakum, our resident personal finance expert. Dayana, welcome.
Thank you, David.
Let's kick it off this week first with Dennis in Franklin, Tennessee. Dennis, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
What's on your mind?
Well, I just have a question for you. I sold some property at the end of last year and ended up clearing around $15,000 or so. And I'm looking to buy a house in about 2 years, and I'm wondering what my best options are for a short-term safe investment and just trying to get the best return on the money.
Okay, so 2 years from now, you will be buying another house.
That is my plan.
Okay, and so now we have to figure out what to do with this money in the meantime.
Exactly.
Dennis, why are you waiting 2 years?
I'm in a start of a relationship now, and it's just honestly too early to kind of jump into a house with a new relationship.
Mm-hmm. I see. So you think this might be going somewhere.
Yes, I do.
And you would like to purchase a home for two and possibly more in the future.
Exactly.
Okay. And so you're a renter now then?
Yes, I am.
And as is your significant other?
Yes.
Okay. So basically you've got your down payment and this extra cash to put towards the home. What's happening in with the real estate market in Tennessee?
Prices are going up, as it is pretty much everywhere else.
Yeah, significantly?
10 to 15% in different areas of town.
Okay. Are you fearful that perhaps you're not going to be able to get as much for the money when it's time for you to buy?
Not tremendously, because I think there are going to be options out there that are available.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's great. Well, you're absolutely right that in money that you need to use in the next 2 years, you don't want to do anything too fancy with it. You don't want to be too risky. You don't want to that down payment to disappear very quickly. So any ideas where we're just going to let you answer your own question here, Dennis, actually. Have you thought about where to put this money?
Well, I've looked at different options. There's several institutions around town that are offering a 3 to 3.5% 15-month CD.
Mm-hmm.
There's one institution that offers 3% on a savings account, you know, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's the best option or if I'm missing some options that may be out there.
Those rates are actually pretty good, especially for if it's just a savings account.
Yes, I think the big picture thinking here is that we at The Motley Fool think that if you have money earmarked for a purpose that is within 5 years, especially if you're thinking just 2 years away, now is not the time to take a risk with that money. Now is the time just to figure out where can I park it for a safe and good return. And I think 3.5% on a 15-month CD sounds both safe and pretty good. We live in a very low interest rate environment still, and so it's not like anybody's going to get excited about the 3.5% paid to you on the $10,000 or $15,000 or $20,000 over the course of a given year or two. But you know, that's kind of the idea here, Des. We're not trying to be exciting with this money.
Right.
Now let's talk about the Love Shack. How did you two meet?
Strangely enough, at a speed dating event.
Oh, really? Okay, describe
now, hold on. You say, oh, really? And I know
I have no idea what that is.
You're single, Dayana, so maybe you know what this is. But I have to say, as a married guy for closer to 20 years than 10, I'm curious, Dennis, what exactly is speed dating?
That is where a local company brings in about 30 or so men, 30 or so women, and you get a profile of the people of the opposite sex at the beginning of the night, and you have 4.5 minutes to talk to as many people as you can talk to. And you start at one table and just continue cycling your way through the room.
Right. I want to know, what was your 4.5 minute conversation like with this person?
We talked about art.
Uh-huh.
We talked about Las Vegas.
Uh-huh.
And that was about all we had time for.
Okay.
Those are two interesting topics. You know, it does occur to me, we had the head of Match.com, the dating service, and he talked about speed dating, now that I think about it, Dan, on the show mm-hmm. a year or two ago. So it seems like once I start hearing about something multiple times, it becomes real for me. This is really happening out there, Dennis.
Yes, it is.
Well, it's a speed dating, but we're happy that you're not going into a speed money decision or home buying decision with that.
Exactly.
Well, best of luck to you and your significant other. I hope it all works out.
Thank you very much.
All right. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. The phone number is 866-NPR-FOOL, and we're going to Los Angeles, where Parker is on the line. Hi, Parker.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Great. What's your money question?
Well, I am 32 years old, and I am fortunate enough to have a grandfather who has had some success in the stock market. And when I was born, he created a stock portfolio for me that basically hasn't been touched since then. I think a lot of it is with Coca-Cola. And basically, here I am, 32 years old, really having no experience or confidence with knowing how to manage that sort of thing or make smart decisions. But I figure, you know, it's something I've always been kind of intimidated by, and it's time for me to start taking responsibility for it. And I just don't really know how to begin.
Do you have other investments besides this that your grandfather, you know, nicely set up for you?
No. I think there might be a tiny bit of stock and a couple other things, but the lion's share is with Coca-Cola, as far as I know.
Okay. One other question. Why now? Why have you let it sit this long, and why are you interested in taking it on at this time?
Well, I think basically because, I mean, it's something that I've thought about since I've been an adult for probably 10 or 15 years, and just always felt sort of intimidated by knowing, you know, I had a lot of fear of like, oh man, I don't want to like mess it up, you know?
Right.
And so now I figure, hey, it's better to get my feet wet and, try to take responsibility for it.
What else is in the portfolio? Is it are we just talking about Coca-Cola stock here, Parker, or are there 32 other small holdings?
You know, I don't know for certain, but I think there might be maybe two or three other things. But as far as I know, 90% or 95% of it is Coca-Cola.
Okay. And why do you feel like you have to do anything at all for the fun of it?
Because from what I have heard from my dad and from my brother, who both have paid more careful attention to this sort of thing, it was worth a lot more years ago than it's worth now.
Well, the reality is that Coca-Cola stock has not been a great performer the last few years. You are talking, obviously, about a very vital American multinational company. So it's not like this is going to go away, or you're invested in something that's hyper volatile and of questionable long-term value. Where is the money reside? Is this in an account?
Gosh, you know, I'm embarrassed, but I am so naive to this. It's through Merrill Lynch. That's
okay,
as much as I know.
Okay, fine. I mean, that's a good starting spot right there. Don't be embarrassed. These are simple questions, not always with easy or known answers, but knowing where the money is, first of all, is helpful. So if it isn't Merrill Lynch, what that means is it's probably sitting in a trust account. It's being passively or actively managed by somebody at Merrill Lynch. If there are only a couple things in it and it's mostly Coke, it sounds as if it's being very passively managed, which isn't bad because sometimes active management means fees that you're paying and your money's going away. That's the first thing. The second thing I'd see is, you know, I usually like to see an account. If it's going to be invested in the stock market, two things about it. The first is the person who's benefiting from it engaged by the idea of choosing stocks?
Right.
And Parker, I don't know, it sounds as if we would describe you at the age of 32 as not having done much of that in the past. What's not clear to me is, are you in any way interested in ultimately, you know, fashioning this portfolio, making it a creative expression of yourself that, by the way, happens to beat the stock market, or is that not what you want to do in your life?
No, that absolutely is interesting to me. You know, I'm a reasonably bright guy and a reasonably cautious guy, and I figured a neat way to start would be maybe take 5% of what's there and then start making, you know, my best educated decisions and maneuvers with it to see how I could learn more without risking a whole lot and try to build up some experience and knowledge and confidence that way.
I like that very much. You said that you're a reasonably smart guy. I think that's a reasonably smart answer. One thing we say a lot on this show is be incremental. You know, a lot of us at The Motley Fool champion the idea of taking some action, but you don't have to do the all or nothing big decision, especially at the outset. So it's often smart to get your feet wet. I love the idea of moving some money out of that account, maybe to a discount brokerage account. And that's a cheaper way to invest, so that if you wanted to sell some of the stock, you'd be paying less. And if you wanted to buy some new stocks, like take a portion of that Coke and sell it and buy 3 to 5 companies that you feel like you know. Maybe you're a Netflix subscriber. Maybe you go down to Home Depot. Companies that really are sort of the tools of your life, whether they're services or products, things that you know and like and think will be around in 10 years. Those are usually the ways that I start, but that's a great way to start. And then just start following the numbers of it. How have you done versus the money that's in that account that's being managed?
Right.
And maybe you start moving some of it away from that and toward you if you feel good about what you're doing.
Right. So how do I do that? I mean, do I need to go down and talk to somebody at Merrill Lynch, or is that something you do online? I mean, I don't even know how to begin kind of getting my hands in it, you know?
Let me say two things. I think, first of all, my very first step, if I were you, is I would get over to Merrill Lynch, wherever the money's being held, and I'd shake hands with somebody, meet them, and say, hi, I'm the guy you're managing this money for. I have a generous grandfather, and by the way, I'm 32 now. I'm growing up a little, and I'm deciding I want to understand how to invest some myself. I feel both I'm the beneficiary, but I feel responsible for this. I feel like a steward in a way myself. I know you're doing a good job and you're professional, but I'd like to just start getting engaged a little bit.
I think Parker should walk in there with the flip flops and, you know, the sun visor and do that.
You know, what you wear is your choice, and there are different messages being sent. But I think that just going over there and making it human would be a good first step for you. Then a second step is, you know, that you certainly can open up. You see discount brokerage ads all the time, even if you're not aware of them. If you've seen a Charles Schwab ad, if you've seen an E-Trade ad, Ameritrade, these guys, a lot of them advertise on television. They're in all the personal finance magazines on lots of websites, including ours. You can open up very conveniently, for the most part, by filling out an online form, and then they send you something in the mail, and you fill it out and send it to them. You've got an account set up in your name.
Easier than opening a bank account, even.
You write a check, that money goes into the account, or you have stock shares transferred by your existing brokerage firm.
Okay.
If for some reason you had a hostile relationship with Merrill Lynch, you could even do it without even talking to them. You simply open up your new account, and then you tell them that you'd like to have the shares transferred from your other, and they do all the work for you. They do the talking, the hand-holding, and the paperwork.
Making that uncomfortable phone call when you're breaking up with Merrill Lynch.
That's right. So you don't have to feel like a lot of personal pressure about this. You can handle it however you'd like. But I hope we've at least gotten you started on the path toward taking control of it. And I think you're being prudent when you say, hey, let's start with 5%. Just start small and see how it feels and see what time you have for it. Parker, we wish you the very best. Thanks for the call.
Okay, thank you very much. I really appreciate your time.
The phone number is 866-NPR-FOOL, 866-677-3665.
To Marcine, who lives in Frisco, Texas. Hi, Marcine.
Hello.
Hi. What's your money question?
My question, when I was calling about Chico stock, I have had, I've been buying things from Chico for quite a while, and every time I would go in, the store would be pretty full. And being a shopper that pays attention to things like that, I went back to my husband and our stockbroker and said, you know, every time I go into Chico's, there's always people there. Maybe this would be a great stock to buy. And my husband says, well, call our stockbroker, you know, see what he says.
Right.
So I call him, and he just kind of, well, even if you buy there, that would be kind of nice, Marcine, if you wanted that stock, instead of saying, go ahead and buy it. Just buy it. You know, he just kind of...
He was humoring you.
Yeah, just kind of, yeah, patronize me a little bit. If you want to say you own stock where you shop, that'd be kind of nice. So I think my advice to people is when you have a gut feeling about a stock, just go ahead and do it.
So I've been criticized for not being a good listener in the past, and I think it's accurate. Marcine, perhaps I did not listen carefully enough. Did you tell us whether you had actually ended up buying the stock or not?
Actually, I did end up buying it. After a while, I finally bought it. And when I even said, you know what, I'm still going to go ahead and buy it. I'm just going to buy it. And both my husband and my stockbroker said, well, you've waited too long now. I mean, it's too high now. Don't buy it now. Well, I bought it at 29, and today it's 35.
Okay.
So there you go.
So we're talking here about Chico's, which is a women's apparel retail company, and it has been tremendously successful. So. For anyone who didn't know, as we were giggling earlier about whether or not you should have bought a little bit or more than that of Chico's, the reason is because over the last 6 years, the stock is up about 60 times in value. So today,
I didn't know that.
That's the truth.
I just had a feeling about the store.
Well, you had the right feeling because 6 years ago, This company was worth about $100 million, and it had had a somewhat checkered past. But management has really guided this company to become a very well-known apparel, particularly for, let's say, women over the age of 35. And,
yes.
And it is really carving out a niche here. And this company has grown from a $100 million company, that's the market cap, the price tag the stock market puts on it, to a market cap today in excess of $6 billion. It's
and
a major success story.
I think another reason that women like Chico's is you're not sized by a 2 or 4 or 6 or 8 or 10. Mm-hmm. You're sized by a 0 or a 1 or a 1.5 or a 2 or a 3. And so somebody that doesn't really want to be a 12 can go, oh, well, I can wear a,
you
I can
know,
wear a 1.5.
You're right.
I'm a, or,
that's,
or a 2.
That is called great marketing.
Do you have this in a, do you have this in a minus 1?
And I don't know whose idea that was, but they deserve applause.
No, it's brilliant. And, you know, they've done a lot of things that has really appealed to a certain demographic. And other stores have tried to imitate that. Are you familiar with J. Jill?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Where else?
Yes.
I'm curious, where else do you shop?
I live near Dallas. Frisco is a suburb of Dallas. I do shop at Nordstrom's.
Mm-hmm.
I do shop at different boutiques, Neiman's. But I always go to, I end up at Chico's
mm-hmm.
for something. I closed out my IRA and bought Chico stock. So that's how much I believe in it.
Well,
in spite of my, I've told my broker, humorly, that I'm going to tell his name on the radio, and he went, please don't do that.
We won't do that to your broker. We won't insist that you do. We don't want to end anyone's career. But let's.
I have a feeling he's going to be taking your calls now, however.
I know it. Well, and he and my husband get on the phone, and they, well, we're making some money with Chico.
Let's go ask Marcine
so well,
what
I
she
just
thinks.
Smile.
That's great.
Well, Marcine, in closing, let's make it clear. One stock does not an investment portfolio make. I hope that you and your husband continue to build out. Sounds like you have a retirement plan that you're contributing to.
We have a lot of stock. It's just this was my idea, and it just kind of went over by everybody's head.
Understood.
Until I just did it.
It's a great story, and this is the perfect show to tell that story on. Thank you, Marcine.
Well, I'm glad I called.
Thank you. Good luck to you in Frisco, Texas. Yeah.
And that wraps up the Fool Phones for this week.
Diana Yoakum, thank you very much for your perspective as always.
Thank you, David Gardner.
The phone number is always open. It's 866-NPR-FOOL. Give us a call during the week, 866-677-3665.